Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. What do you say to a state trooper when you get clocked at 127 miles an hour in a 65? What do you say?
The speedometer's not working.
A Hartford woman was arrested for alleged reckless driving in New Hampshire Monday morning. New Hampshire State Police said just after 8:30 a.m., a trooper was monitoring traffic on I-95 northbound in Hampton Falls when a 2017 Dodge Charger traveled by at a high rate of speed.
Oh.
Car was clocked driving 127 miles an hour in a 65.
Oh, she had more to go. That wasn't top speed.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. Took mine at 155 once. I mean, no, didn't say a word.
It's all about AJ.
Now that's on my car. Thank you.
So the trooper stopped the car and identified the driver as 35-year-old Latoya Huff of Hartford. Huff told the trooper she did not realize she was going that fast.
Oh, they do ride very smooth.
I believe that is the best thing you could say in that situation.
Yeah, didn't realize.
Well, you're not getting out of it.
No.
I wasn't looking at it.
I'm on my way to an emergency.
Right.
There's nothing you can say that's going to get you out of that.
I was scared. There was a cop chasing me. I was trying to get out of your way. I saw you coming really fast.
She was charged with reckless operation.
No.
Yeah, I think once you go over a certain speed, you get reckless driving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You get the speeding ticket. And then you also get reckless driving.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's at least 30 miles over the speed limit, posted speed limit.
Oh, really?
Is that right?
Oof. I think so. Oof. I don't know if that differs state to state, but I believe that's, I don't know why that's in my brain.
All right, so let's talk about the, what's the best thing you could say? Like, let's talk about excuses.
Yeah.
And then how fast were you going and how much did it cost you?
Right.
1-877-764-2535. Everybody on gets in the running for Blue Oyster Cult tickets coming to the Ridgefield Playhouse.
Didn't you like blow some cop's mind one time? How fast you were going.
Yeah, it was 1988. I was in a brand new IROC. We wanted to hit Daytona Beach in 24 hours.
Right.
So I was making up for lost time.
Of course.
That we experienced on I-95 in Connecticut.
Right.
Had to pick up some time in Maryland.
It's their fault, damn it.
I was doing about 160.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You were making up time.
Yeah, it was lightning speed.
Yeah.
And I saw, you know, the cars were just like.
Do you even see the road?
Like you're in the Matrix.
I felt like I was in Star Wars.
Yeah. When the Millennium Falcon's in hyperspace.
Right. It's just
that's
stars.
The stars, yeah.
Stars coming by.
They went
by.
To Plaid.
And then I went by one of these stars flying by. I'm like, was that a cop?
That one seemed different. That one had some red things on top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That looked a little different. Like the taillights looked a little bit higher than normal.
A little different.
So I slowed it down. I see the lights come on. I'm like, all right, great. It's funny how far those lights seemed behind me when they first lit up.
Yeah.
Like, wow, that I am cranking.
Yep.
I finally pulled over. I had apparently slowed down to 97 by the time he got me.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Smart move.
So, I guess he had to, you know, catch up to me and turn his radar on or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but he said he got me at 97.
The worst when they open with, you know how fast I had to go to catch up to you. That's never good. I've gotten it many times.
Right. I was relieved. That's, you know, it's probably the one time someone hears, I got you at 97. I'm like, oh, thank God.
Right.
Woo! Awesome.
Woo!
Yeah, because I thought it was going to be a lot worse.
Oh, I was going so much. I mean, no.
But he did this whole game show thing, and this is when I realized Maryland is, like, part of the South. When it comes to, you know, the North and the South and our war.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't realize. I thought Maryland was like us.
Yeah.
I thought we were like, yeah, you're right down the street from us.
Simpatico. Come on. Never.
Oh, no.
Come on, crab cakes.
Oh, no, it was a problem.
Oh.
He was like, so, where are you going?
Nowhere.
Going to date. I'm in a brand new IROC. Right. two girls.
School?
Like, I'm going to Daytona.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what's in the suitcases?
Uh-oh.
I'm like, oh, Jesus. I'm like...
Clothes?
Clothes. Like things that you bring on a trip.
You answer with a question. Clothes?
Shoes, underwear.
Right.
He made it obvious right in the beginning that if I said anything... And I got wise just a little bit.
Oh. Did you look
that
close?
My trip would be disrupted.
Oh, nice. Like,
yes, sir.
Yep.
No, sir. Pull the bags out of the car. Yes, sir. Pulling the bags out of the car. Maybe do the whole deal.
Open everything.
I thought he was gonna, he didn't ask me to open them.
Oh, cool.
But I think he just wanted to see if we had like beer hidden under the suitcases or whatever.
Yeah, thank you to find the drugs at all. No.
But then he did a game show thing. He's like, going to give you a ticket for $250. That's for doing 97 and a 65. So have a nice trip. Oh, wait.
There's more?
There's more. I'm like, ew.
Game show.
Bastard.
But wait, there's much more.
There's more.
But wait, there's more. The trooper that he was with was looking at me like, oh, sorry, man.
Oh, he does this all the time. He's such a dick.
Yeah. That's kind of the look he was giving me. Right. Like, yeah, the guy's a dick. Sorry.
Right. Huh.
He goes, I got another prize present for you.
Oh, present.
This ticket's for $500. This is for reckless driving, because if you're doing 97 in Maryland, you are reckless driving. Oh. And I wanted to say, aren't you charging me twice for the same crime?
Shouldn't that be on the sign?
And he goes, so your grand total is $750. Have a nice vacation.
Can't afford to go now. Oh,
that was more than I made in a week.
Well.
A lot more. I don't know how many more times, but it was the whole. It's like
you walked funny back to the car, didn't you? Almost like you got off a horse.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That one hurt.
Yeah.
Wow. That much.
$750 in 1988.
Oh, folks made like $12 a week back then.
How did you know what I made?
You're in radio, right?
Yeah. Mark in Newtown.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I was doing 137 and a 55 in Ohio. My girlfriend at the time, we had a wedding to go to. She wanted to fly, and I just got a new car. So I wanted to drive. The guy passed me going the opposite way on 80. And
what, the cop?
I slowed down. Yeah, the cop was going westbound. I was going east. I slowed down when I saw him, and I drove for a while thinking he wasn't going to come, and then all of a sudden, I kept going fast again.
I always feel like I'm safe from the cars on the other side. Like, if I see a cop on the other side,
yeah,
I am fine.
Yeah.
I'm not going to come all the way around.
Yeah,
of course, you could read around the car ahead on your side.
This guy was screaming at me like he was my father. I mean, he was screaming. My girlfriend's sitting in the car screaming at me. He's screaming at me. It was so funny.
Oh.
So it was
really, because to me that's the opposite of funny.
Right, you have a weird good time, man.
I have a lot of things I call funny.
Yeah, that's not one.
Screamed at by a cop and my woman at the same time.
Yeah.
Not funny.
Yeah, stereo. No.
Yeah, I guess that's how you have to process it.
Yeah,
this is funny.
This
isn't
is
it?
Funny.
This is funny.
Why is funny?
Funny. So funny.
It's funny.
It's gonna make a good story one day.
Why laugh at it someday when I could just think it's funny right now?
Maybe win tickets one day from the radio station. Who knows?
Annette in Torrington.
So it was probably, I was probably listening to you when I was traveling from Prospect into New Haven for a 4th of July party. And I was on Route 69, right by the reservoir in Bethany. And I had just smoked a joint. I had poured myself a pre-party drink and had it in my console. It was back in the 80s.
Okay,
so
80s.
I had a...
Not last
and
week.
I had a huge box filled with fireworks.
Of course,
in my back seat.
Why not?
And no, but this is a moment in life.
Yeah.
Okay,
all
this,
these
it's
things.
The 80s. It's a great decade.
Right.
You're young.
Beautiful
you're like,
day. 4th of July
it's
weekend.
It's July.
Smoked a J. You got a drink
you
in
got
your console.
PR on.
Tons of fireworks in the back.
Right.
Yeah.
Drink and a joint.
Exactly.
And
well, life is good.
Life is great.
Right.
This is a moment.
Right. My hair came out good. Yes.
until I get pulled over.
Oops.
And the officer walks up, and I opened up the window, and this a gigantic puff of smoke came out and hit him in the face.
Whoops.
And he just kind of stepped back for a second, and I looked at him and smiled, and he said, you didn't realize you were speeding? And I said, I did not realize that, sir.
I was too stoned to care.
And he said, well, you know, you're going pretty quick there, and yeah, I just want to watch out for your safety. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry.
That's it? Nothing about the cloud of weed hit him in the face?
Women have a different experience
yeah,
when they get pulled over.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless they're really cranky.
Do it to the body carry switch on me.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But you asked for it.
So I did. I did request. That's how high I was, yes.
Yeah, it was like a bat, bat, blink, blink smile. And he said, well, he goes, I just want you to slow down through here, okay? And you be careful and have yourself a great day.
That's so unfair.
Okay. Thank you.
That's so unfair.
Much.
That is so unfair. We need more female cops out there. So us guys have a
chance. Oh, they're out there now.
Yeah.
Oh, they are. They really are.
I love that you were so stoned you didn't even think, let me put the windows down and drive for a half a mile, just air this car out.
Just a little bit.
I'll just pull over slowly just to air out the car.
Right.
Just a little bit.
Just a little
bit. I know, I'll throw this joint in this box behind me. The big fireworks show will make him completely forget about it. This idea.
Yeah.
I'll just create diversion.
Right. You just keep your hands on the wheel. Just keep looking forward. There's no explosions in the back seat.
You show up at the party, your hair's all messed up. You're all blackened.
Pieces of paper in your hair.
Right. There's a couple of sticks from the bottle of rockets.
Gunpowder.
Right. Only one sandal.
Well, I'm glad I didn't take the joint and throw it into the back seat of the car and ignite all the fireworks. You just see that one
happen. That's what AJ just said, by the way.
How powerful was that joint? That last hit was a doozy.
It's still lingering.
Yes.
All right, Annette, you are in the running.
Yes,
thank
good
you.
Job. Good job.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good one, you guys. You take it easy.
Thank you for all the years of listening, too.
Yes, thank you.
All right, we're talking about speed and ticket stories.
Yes.
Jennifer the Plow Girl.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, you.
I am
Snow
doing all right.
Plow.
How about you?
Snow Plow, yeah. Baby.
Snow Plow.
Yes. Yes, yes. No snow to plow, though.
Nope.
Not yet.
No, let's hope not.
Good.
I like it. Anyway, I have a good story for you. I was doing a stag. Actually, I was doing two stags in New York.
Stags.
And my mom
and
her boyfriend
came with
me.
Hold on.
Back the truck
What do you
up
mean
second.
Doing a stag?
Yeah, what does that mean? Like
planning?
Bartending or you like dancing?
I was the entertainment.
Oh, wow, you are a plow girl. Sorry.
Well, sometimes. Not all the time. Anyway, I'm in New York. I have my mom in the truck with me. I have her
boyfriend. Now, are you a magician? Or do you play the ukulele? You play the ukulele?
No.
You do
card
tricks?
If you like.
I was. It depends on where you put it.
Okay.
But yeah. I was in New York, and my mom and her boyfriend were with me. My mom was doing the music. The boyfriend was the security. And I was going from one stag to the other.
This is a great family business.
That's a very cool family.
How old are you at this time? I'm not even concerned about the speeding ticket anymore.
Yeah, we just want to know more about you.
This is way more interesting.
Yeah. There's some other details we need.
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 54.
No, that would be a horrible stag.
How old was I then?
Maybe not.
Right.
Okay.
Can you send a picture?
I was 21.
21.
You're 21.
Okay. 21 doing two stags.
Your mom is like, hey, Mr. Boyfriend, I'm taking my daughter. She's a stripper. We're going over. This guy's like, awesome.
The fact she's doing double stags says right there.
That's true.
It wasn't like I'm doing one today and another one like 3 years from now.
I got two tonight.
Yeah.
So she's always been Jennifer the Plow Girl.
That joke was already made.
Yeah. Yes.
I know. I thought this was the bit where we repeat jokes.
As an AG said it first. So I'm 21. We're on this back road. I have no idea where we are. I can't find the next stag. I'm calling them asking for directions. And we get pulled over.
Oops.
And I'm like, oh, my God. So my mother starts running her mouth.
Oh, no.
You know, immediately.
Shut up, Ma.
And there was a bag. There was a baggie in the ashtray with a little bit of pot in it. It was really crappy pot. So she's, you know, the
what year?
Talking to the boyfriend.
Sorry if I already heard
this. 19, 1980.
Okay, so a whole different time for marijuana, just so you know.
1989. Yeah.
To put it in perspective, they arrested you for weed back then. All right, go ahead.
Right. So she's taking the baggie out and trying to empty it on the floor while the cop is standing there. I'm like, what are you doing?
It's my weed, Mom.
Like, all right, everybody out of the truck.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God. So my mother starts running her mouth. I'm like, Mom, shut up. Mom, shut up. And she keeps going. And the boyfriend got arrested. And we had to go bail him out. And he gave the ticket. He got arrested. And he almost arrested my mother. If it wasn't for me, my mother would have gotten arrested, too, for running her mouth. And the boyfriend had a joint behind his ear.
Were you dressed like a cop also?
I offered to do a lap
dance. Wait, you're an officer, too?
I'm an officer also.
I just heard her say she offered to do a lap dance.
Nice. Right,
do we have your number?
We do.
Okay. You're in the running for the tickets, but I want to hear more about this other life. We've known you for a long time.
I had no idea. No idea.
But these are...
Well, I don't know. I don't always reveal that side of me. But, yeah, AJ said something the other day, and I'm like, I'm a good-looking girl. Even though I'm 54, I'm still good-looking.
Send a picture.
And, you know, I've been blessed. I will. I'll send you guys a picture. I'll send you a picture of me then, and I'll send you a picture of me now.
Okay.
What
Not that
say?
That's necessary, but it's good for research. Three cars plunged into the waters of a lake heading to an ice fishing tournament.
Well, that's stupid, putting the car on the ice.
It's very common.
I know, but you know what? I don't care. I'm still leaving my car at the shore. I'll walk.
This was in the Boston Globe yesterday. Was this in Massachusetts? Is this lake in Massachusetts, Tim?
Central New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. Yeah. Okay, right. Gotcha. Now
so close by. Not like Maine or something like
that. Three cars, not one. Well,
not
two,
but three. Three cars!
Went into the water.
Bloop.
It was a fishing tournament that ran February 12th and 13th.
Well, they still fish the cars out. It's kind of a tournament.
That's true.
I caught a Lexus.
A different tournament.
Yeah, that's right. You caught the big. You had the three biggest catches,
nice.
Tim.
Nice. Exactly.
Tim McDonald's co-owner of Marine Solutions in New Hampshire. He's the guy who has to go out and get the cars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, is that
morning,
a busy
guys.
Day? Good morning. Thanks for coming on.
Do you mount them after you catch them or what?
Yeah.
Stand there with a car.
We by the on tournament style.
Yes.
No, I mean, that was, I'd like to tell you that was a busy day, but at this time of year, the ice conditions, they change so fast. It was uncommon to have three cars. Normally, it's a car, a snowmobile, side-by-side, or a couple snowmobiles, but... Three cars was a little uncommon, but three recoveries just not so much now.
Wow.
One didn't go completely in.
No, that guy, I think he had an angel looking out for him. He dropped his two front tires through the ice and it stopped right there.
Good.
So the car was, once you got it out, it was fine?
Yeah, that gentleman, we winched it backwards about 60 feet and... he got back in it and drove it back off, immediately off the lake, go figure.
Yeah, I would.
So I saw a picture of a bunch of guys standing around this car that's like dangling off the ice. I'm like, aren't you worried when you're standing on that ice that it could break or crack, break off?
Right.
So we spend a lot of time on the ice, obviously. And we when you see the pictures of us doing the salvage and the recovery like that, I mean, we'd already measured pretty extensively all around our working area. Both of these cars that went in actually accidentally drove into what we call a pressure ridge, which is kind of where the ice will rise and fall as the lakes freeze and thaw.
Yeah.
So believe it or not, where you see us standing, looking down at the Lexus hanging in the water, there's over 2 feet of ice.
Oh,
he just
God.
Happened to find the spot that had 2 inches of ice.
Oh. You should like recreate the Titanic scene with Rose and Rose and Jack, or the propeller guy.
Oh, poor Lexus.
Yep.
Yeah, one of the cars lost was a Lexus, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it was a Lexus, and the other was a Toyota Highlander or something. I don't know. Little
Wetlander.
Toyota SUV.
Yeah.
And you left them down there for you left them down there for a couple of days.
Yeah, so it's kind of a song and dance, if you will, because you know, the funny thing is, when people drive into open water and escape with their life, they typically don't, you know, put a road sign up and say, hey, this is where I drove in. They're
okay.
More concerned with getting back to somebody where warm. So it usually takes us 2 or 3 days to actually find the car.
Oops.
Oh. Interesting.
So they should put a road sign.
No, but you have to. That's right, because then you might have a situation where it freezes over.
Yeah.
So, okay.
You know, even blowing snow, believe it or not, I mean, when you get the snow blowing across the ice, if it's right around the freezing point, it'll skim over and you can't see where it went in.
Oh.
Do people have
so
you
we
lost?
Kinda do a,
have you lost people?
Go ahead.
Like people who just.
No. Nope. Not yet.
Wow, that's great.
Not of recent. How's that?
Yeah.
All right. So everyone's been able to get out of the car. Wow, that's wild.
Yeah.
Yep.
That is wild and cold. That's got to be freaking
very cold.
That's as cold as it gets.
Yeah, it's a bad day right there.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's like a three-phase process, actually, on the recoveries. We start out with your typical aerial drone, your DJ Mavics, and actually we'll overfly an area and look for any kind of differences in the ice surface, and that kind of gives us an idea of where we might find where the car went in. And then from there, we actually have an ROV, or it's basically like a giant underwater robot that's remote controlled. And we can drill a small hole, send that down through, and actually search the bottom of the lake. And then once we've actually found the car, we can pick a day when the temperature is above the freezing point, just because it makes it a little bit safer for the diving equipment and the divers. And we can send everybody down to get it rigged up. And pull
but,
it
I mean,
out.
Once the car's down there, it's done. I mean,
you got to get it.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely, yeah, I know. Environmental concerns are huge, huge, huge.
Gotcha.
Who pays for that? And that can't be cheap.
The insurance company? No.
Yeah, so most of the time, insurance will cover a car that goes through the ice. I mean, if you read your policies, there's... No, if you read your policy, it talks about flood and water damage. They don't necessarily specify the flood or how the damage happened.
Wow. We're going to change that one.
I know, I'm shooting myself in the foot right now.
Yeah.
Tim McDonald, co-owner of Marine Solutions in New Hampshire, he fished three cars out of the water.
That's a good day of fishing.
Ice fishing tournament February 12th and 13th. Three cars in the
water. Yeah, I mean, it's been busy for us the last couple. It was funny when I got a message from, I think he was your producer yesterday, we were pulling a snowmobile out of Newfound Lake, which is the next lake over. So this is that time of year.
I'm just wondering how much the prize was for the fishing tournament
right?
that you brought your car out there.
You know, it's funny you guys joke about it, but you go to any of the lake accesses on Winnipesaukee, and there's tire ruts literally worn into the ice because there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cars. I mean, just down at Alton, which is another probably 20 minutes beyond where we were working, there's an ice runway that opens every winter where planes land on the lake all winter long.
I mean, man, I'm walking on the ice. I'm wearing a floaty as I walk out there. In case the ice breaks, I'll bob.
Oh, man, that's balls.
Yeah.
Landing a plane.
Oh, wow.
You're just hoping.
Yeah.
That the, like, a little, you know, snow dusting's not covering a hole.
Exactly. That's one I forgot to mention.
Have you ever pulled a plane out of the water?
We haven't, but our partners over in Wolfboro, Dive Winnie, did two a couple of years ago in the summertime.
Wow. Oh, the pontoon planes?
Oh, yeah.
No, these were both very happy land planes, and somehow they ended up being seaplanes.
Just bad pilots.
Or just a mechanical failure, and water seems like the easiest place to land.
This is true, right.
Usually, yeah.
We had, there was a guy up in Shelton, the Birch Banks, all these cottages on the water.
Uh-huh.
And this guy had a plane. He was like the fanciest person in town.
Of course he did.
He had his own friggin' airplane.
Right.
And he would land it. He had the pontoons on it and he would land it. But this is before they would put those big orange cones on the power lines.
Uh-oh.
Oops.
He went right into the power lines, flipped the plane, landed upside down.
Did he get electrocuted?
No, but everybody was out of power for a long time.
Right.
So every time I see those orange cones on the power lines that cross the river,
I
think of him.
Yeah.
Your company is called Marine Solutions. You must have some interesting stories.
Yeah, I mean, we do all phases of marine construction as well as salvage and recovery. I mean, we do, two dozen snowmobiles a winter, side-by-sides, trucks. And then in the summertime, boats, we do, 60, 70 boats a summer.
Wow.
That sink or just break down?
Sinkers.
No.
So you just take care of stuff that's underwater. That's what you go for.
I meet people on the worst day of their life and try to make it better.
Look at you. See? What a guy.
Wow. I'll call you.
Have you, while looking for one?
Not for the hell of
it. She's about to get married.
Yeah. Call a fiance.
Keep your number.
Tim, while you were looking for a car or something, did you happen to find some kind of like hidden treasure or something that was lost for a long time?
I haven't found Blackbeard's treasure yet.
Not yet.
Okay, let us know.
I'm still looking. We're not ruling that one out. But no, I mean, Winnipesaukee is it's a pretty crazy lake. We spend most of our time right on Winnipesaukee. It's one of the oldest tourist destinations in the United States. So I mean, Winnipesaukee as a whole, there's over 250 documented shipwrecks. So there's a lot of divers in that lake. There's a lot of recreational diving. There's a lot of cool things to see. So I haven't found Blackbeard's treasure yet. We are looking.
Cool.
If anyone has any tips or hints, I'm open to guidance.
It's in Lexus.
Yeah, Lexus. Yeah.
Okay. I love the quote from Tiffany Letts, who's the spokesperson for the fishing tournament.
Okay.
She wrote, cars fall through the ice, quote, here and there.
Oh, thank you.
There, you know,
scattered
everywhere.
To and fro, yes.
There and there.
Yes.
Not a big concern.
Yeah, tabs all the time.
It's funny because I hear that a lot from folks who maybe aren't familiar with like ice fishing and or the winter sports on the lake, but it almost is kind of a nonchalant thing because it just kind of happens every once in a while.
Cool.
Me personally, don't drive my truck on the lake, but to each their own, I guess.
Just call it Lake Idiotsy.
You have the best quote in the story. Tim said the easiest way to prevent similar situations from cropping up in the future would be to avoid driving on the ice.
See,
no.
Worth live by. Thank
really?
You. My vehicle stays on the ground.
Yeah. Sometimes the most obvious response is the best response.
There you go, see? By mince words.
Yeah. I really had to think about that one for a while.
Yeah, do you wake up some days like, oh, wow, it got warm? We're going to be busy
Very
today.
Very busy day today, yes.
You know, it's any of the big weekends. So we have two major weekends on Winnipesaukee. One of them is the fishing derby. Obviously, that was crazy. And then the weekend before, we have the, the pond hockey tournament, the New England Pond Hockey Classic.
Oh,
which is one of their big hockey weekends on Meredith Bay. There's 28 rinks, like 300-something teams from around the country. And both of those weekends, it's kind of like a Friday night, all right, let's load some stuff up and hope we don't need it, but I think we're going to be busy, and it's usually pretty busy.
Got a bunch of folks in a grandstand.
Oh, no.
Apparently they all stood up to cheer.
When you have to go out and rescue boaters, you never find any of them intoxicated, do you?
Oh, no, of course not.
No. Everybody's
never,
sober there.
Never,
what are you thinking, Chaz?
Lake whiskey there, whatever it's called.
You have any, like, those stories where someone pulled a plug on the boat or something stupid like that?
You know, I'm not there to pass judgment on recoveries, but I would tell you that I've definitely been in some situations that had some questionable means that the insurance company may have asked some very pointed, specific questions on the on my thoughts.
Yeah, never test your gun at the floor of the boat. Hey,
yeah,
cool gun.
No.
Bam, bam. Whoops. Yeah.
Well, my favorite is when we'll do a recovery and the folks will tell me, they're like, oh, my God, I'm so happy I put insurance on this yesterday. It's like, really?
Oh, wow.
I don't know if I tell people that.
Yeah, we want to keep that part down.
Well, Tim, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man, you're awesome.
That is getting 2 tons of steel.
We got to talk to him again later on.
Yeah, exactly. We got to keep up with you. Tim McDonald, Marine Solutions.
Thanks for having me. You know, we post stuff on our Facebook and the webpage all the time, so if you ever want to see some cool salvages or recovery, check us out on Facebook.
Okay, good.
We'll follow you and then expect a call.
Uh-huh.
Love it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank
man.
You, Tim. We got a local filmmaker and producer, actor in the studio right now.
Yeah.
He made a movie called The Dead Girl in Apartment 03. Is it 03 or just 3?
You could say 3.
Apartment 3.
Yeah, why would you put 03?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That was what was on the door.
Okay.
The
oh.
Okay.
Oh, well, then that's why you would put it.
That's why, yeah.
And you say, oh, 3.
Yeah.
Oh, 3.
Oh, 3.
Oh,
where's
3?
Oh, 3?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh.
See? That's why it works out that way.
Huh. Welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You made the movie in Waterbury?
Yes. Yep.
Do we have the trailer?
Yeah, we do.
Is this we'll play some of it because the whole thing won't transfer over the radio. But
right.
Take a listen.
When was the last time you saw her?
Elizabeth? What happened?
My roommate, I found her dead in the apartment tonight.
That's a scream.
Yeah, that was right there.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Oh, my God. That sounds like someone's getting hair removed.
No, that's me with, the toilet backs up. In somebody else's house.
Oh, my God. AJ squatting in the toilet.
Right.
That's one of those, that's one of the things you have to do during the test, right? Like, all right, we want you to play this part. Let's hear your scream.
Right.
How could you scream? Yeah.
Right. Yep. A little ice down the back. Boom. Nice.
Ooh.
Man.
Yeah, that was natural, too. That wasn't added in later. That was right on the set right there.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, she's good.
Yeah, girls can scream.
A real scream.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
Do you guys know how long she was in there like that?
Our best guess, probably a day or two.
Wow.
And her face, that look on her face.
People make all kinds of faces when they die.
Never
do
funny.
They?
Never funny
do
faces,
they?
Though.
No. Do they?
They're like,
they might have their eyes open.
Right.
They might have their mouth open.
Right.
But do they make all kinds of faces?
Right. Like, I'm really mad at you.
Maybe it depends what other horror movie may have been on at the time they died.
Gotcha. That's what killed them. Yeah.
I'm picturing when Bugs Bunny gets shot and he's going, ooh.
Right.
Oh, you got me. Oh, you got me. Agony, agony, agony.
Yeah.
Wow. That's, do we ever see the face that they're referring to? Like her dead face?
Briefly. Yep. Briefly.
Oh, it's one of those. It's just a quick.
Right.
And it jolts you.
Ah.
Like, ooh.
Right.
I don't want to give too much away, but yeah, you briefly see it. Yeah.
Oh, man.
She painted her face like Kiss. That's Paul, you want the best. You got the best.
People.
Yeah.
This background music, did you have that made or is that stock? You buy that somewhere?
How no,
you...
no. We had it made.
Really?
The director, Kurt Spieler, he knew this band, Satanic Panic 81, and they did the score.
That's Satanic the name of the band?
Yeah, awesome. They're from Connecticut, too.
That's a cool name.
That is a cool name.
Yeah. Yep.
This is the great music, by the way. Just the music creeps you out.
It was cool. That was one of my favorite things was the score, you know?
This is for weddings a lot.
Good job, Satanic Panic.
This is when they die. Do you have anywhere else you can stay tonight?
That's you.
That's me.
Hey. You're a detective?
I'm a detective also, yep.
Nice. And a filmmaker. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
And
checking
producer.
All the boxes here, yeah.
All this time. When do you drink coffee?
I'm like Steven Seagal, you know.
You, exactly. Just from that one line, you seem like the understanding cop.
Well,
okay?
My character may
you
have
connect
a slight
with,
crush
you
on
connect
her
with this girl. Yeah, I was just going to say, you connect with this girl.
Do you have a place to stay? Yeah.
This girl connects with you.
A.K.A. my apartment.
You're trying to get her to your place.
Yeah.
Okay. She would have been safer there, you know.
For shame. Yes.
Yeah, you should not stay in this apartment.
Right, I know a place you can stay.
I got an extra room.
Come back to my place, I'll make you a bolognese.
Exactly.
Crush or no crush, it's safer at my place. I'm
I got
telling
to make clears.
Okay, wait a minute.
Creepy.
There's a creepy,
creepy.
There's a creepy doll.
Anybody else hear that?
Yes.
Hear what?
Yeah. What was that? Should we have to watch the movie to find out? Okay. Or can you
well,
tell
us? Well, there's a little doll that's
it's a Raggedy Ann doll, right?
It's actually like a clown.
Like a clown
it's
doll.
It's a clown doll.
Yeah, evil clown doll.
And that was in the room, you know, that was in her bedroom.
It's the doll.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. At that point,
stay
you know
away
what?
From the doll.
I will stay at your house, yes.
Okay.
He put it there.
All right. Frank, I like you. I could tell you're a great person. But if you say yes to this question, I'm going to say I'm not watching this movie.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh. No pressure.
Does this girl, who you have the slight crush on, does she take the doll with her when she leaves?
No.
Really?
I swear to God.
Okay, good. That's one of those, all right. You really can't figure this out.
Right.
No,
you're
one
that
would
stupid.
Have done that.
Now I want you to die.
So is a doll.
I want you to die the worst death.
Right.
All right, good. All right.
Or being a Steven Seagal movie.
Yeah.
Does the doll follow her, or I have to watch the movie?
Gets in the cab and everything.
You got to watch the movie.
We
don't want to ruin the movie.
Yeah, the doll takes an Uber, yeah.
Oh, man, that's creepy. All right, so does this movie, I know you filmed it in Waterbury, but does it take place in Waterbury?
No, it takes place in Queens, New York.
Oh.
Okay.
Sure, blame Queens.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
No, I had access to this three-family house, and I said, why don't we wanted to make a movie, and I said, you know, we have this location, why don't we write something around that? And then Kurt, being as creative as he is, he was able to do it.
That's cool.
So it was cool. Nobody bothered us. The place was creepy as it was, you know.
That's all you need.
So
you got
cool.
The music, you got the place,
got
you
the
got a good script, yeah, you got some good actors.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, let's hear a little bit more.
You and I both know she had nothing to do with that up there. No struggle, no trauma, no nothing.
You're already on her side. So this was after the questioning? This is shortly after. So you found, so this girl's found dead in her room with a weirdo face on.
Yeah. Creepy doll laughing.
Creepy doll probably not laughing when the cops are looking around.
No, of course not, no.
But you don't know how the person died. You question the roommate, and you're already on her side. You're like, yeah, she had nothing to do with this. Yeah. So your partner's like, oh, no, she's dirty.
Well, the body, you know, doesn't have much, no marks from any. It doesn't look like there's any foul play, you know. But my skeptical partner, Adrienne King from Friday the 13th, the original one.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's the final girl in the first Friday the 13th, 1980.
She made it all the way to the end.
She made it all. Right. Yeah.
Because she knew this movie was coming along someday. Yeah. That's why.
She wanted to play the detective.
Exactly. That's
sure.
Why she made sure she got through that to make sure she got to his movie later on.
It'd be funny
30
if
years
she
later.
Made it through that.
40 years later.
40 years later. I was being kind.
All right. You know, it'd be funny if she made it through the Friday the 13th, but didn't make it through this movie.
Right. Yeah.
Son of a, really?
The big premiere is tomorrow night in Southbury.
Nice.
And I love this movie theater. Riverview Cinemas 8.
Yeah.
I saw the James Bond movie there.
Oh, cool.
And they awesome. Serve alcohol.
Nice. You should have that for James Bond.
Or for any movie.
He has a you know, a martini. You have a martini as well.
They were serving them.
Nice. Yeah. See, that's nice.
That's cool.
That's thinking ahead.
So it's tomorrow.
What do you say with the dead girl?
The 7 o'clock is sold out. The 5 and the 9 are available.
Nice.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How much did it cost to make this movie?
The budget was $30,000.
Nice.
That's great.
Which is, you know, that's low.
That's low.
Still a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
That is shoestring, really, when
Seriously,
you're talking about movies.
You can buy a Hyundai for that.
Yeah. So, an accent, you know.
No, but I'll tell you, if you give me $200 million, I can make a good movie, and I've never made a movie before.
Right.
All right, you give
to make
me
one low budget
$30,000 to make a good movie. Mm. Now you're going to get creative. Now you're going to get resourceful. Now you're going to do all the things a filmmaker should do.
Good there you go.
Yep.
So you're in the movie. You're a producer, actor, and who's the director?
Curtis Spieler.
Now is that someone that we would know from other things?
He's from Connecticut, and every couple other movies that he's done were all filmed in Connecticut. Also. And his partner, childhood friend, Nicholas Papazoglou, they're a team, and they were nice enough to bring me in on it. And Sheepskin was another movie, and The Devil's Well.
Oh, I've heard of Devil's Well.
Oh, there you go.
The Devil's Well.
Cold Water Doctor. They'll take care of it.
Curtis directed that, and Nick produced that, and I met them right around that time. And Kurt's also working on another movie called New York Ninja. That was...
that sounds cool.
It was like they found it completely unedited. And they pieced it together, no sound. They had to dub the voices. That's awesome.
Wow.
That's Vinegar Syndrome in Bridgeport. They restore old film and re-release it on Blu-ray.
Okay. Well, I want to know all these people because I love movies, and especially if they're local.
That's a really cool project, though.
Scary movies.
Cool.
Great. So
Chris Farley.
Dead...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Chris Farley and Beverly Hills Ninja.
That's a masterpiece. That's, I'm sorry
I'm just
to
think
say
about that one, yeah.
Yeah.
I was just, you know, I heard Ninja, and I just thought of him.
Yeah, the dead girl in apartment 03.
Yeah.
Is there a formula to make a horror movie? Do you need certain things? Seems like you need a girl in every horror movie.
Mm.
Right?
Sure.
The femme fatale, yeah.
100%.
Is there like the audience for a horror movie is, you know, guys 60%, girls 40% between the ages of whatever. Is there or no?
No, I think it's a guy that, you know, you'd be surprised at some of the people that like them that look like maybe they're wearing a suit and tie and, you know, holy cow, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So you got to have a good-looking guy, good-looking girl. There has to be some chemistry.
Yeah, you have to care about them, yeah.
There has to be some dopes that you know are going to die. That you're rooting to get it.
The one loud mouth.
Want them to die.
That loud mouth that you introduce early in the movie.
Yeah.
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 Is there that in this movie? Is there someone that we see that's... Not your detective partner?
Slightly. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
How many people die in this? Is there a body count? You have to have a high body count?
That was another thing with the low budget. We had to have a small cast. We couldn't have too many. That helped keep the budget low.
Yeah. Every single person you introduce becomes this whole, now we got to write, why are they here? Yeah. What's the point? Who are they? Do we like them? Do we not like them?
Right.
Why'd they die? How'd they die?
How do they fit the story?
Yeah.
So we kept it light, you know, with the cast. And
how many people die?
We know her. Because
know that number?
There's a title.
Oh, I thought that was like a requirement.
Well, no. I mean, well, I feel three.
There's three.
Oh, you don't want us to know because you want to see the movie.
Exactly, well, right.
That doesn't matter. I'm happy to tell you.
Okay, three.
But yeah, three, yep.
Three.
Is there any of the three that are unexpected? Like, I thought that person was going to make it.
I had no idea.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, that's great.
The cameraman. Oh, my God.
You don't make it.
You're going to have to find out.
Oh, see, I'm the worst person.
He's got to leave some suspense here.
I like to watch a trailer and then tell you everything that's going to happen. She lives. Girl in the apartment.
She has to.
The roommate girl lives.
Because not two girls in the dead apartment. Oh, that was both.
Right. You would have to change the movie title.
Her name will tell you everything. It's dead girls, not dead girls.
Right. She's in dead girl two.
Three girls.
Apartment three.
Sequel, guys. Right. All right. Yes, we got to get a sequel.
Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
She makes it.
But and that's another thing. Like you said, there's like a strong female in all the horror movies. So
one that you're rooting for.
Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis was a strong female in those. Yeah.
And Adrienne King also in Friday the 13th.
Exactly. She lived enough to make this movie.
Become detective.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
No shish kebab here.
Maybe she goes. Because she thinks.
You never know.
She
thinks back to that movie way back then. And,
all right, hold on. Two people die. Right. It's her and you. But you die later. She dies early. You die later. You're the one that the whole audience says.
Why did I walk in the studio?
And he probably, now I've only seen the trailer, that's it.
Yeah.
He is probably the guy who, he probably saves her. Like sacrifices himself and he ends up getting it.
And as he's dying, he goes, I always loved you.
Dramatic.
Yeah. I've only known you for a few moments, but I always loved you.
It's all farts and toilets.
Well, that's what you always do.
Right.
You release yourself when you die. Just, you know. I didn't invent it.
I noticed that instantly as I'm watching the trailer, she has a very tight shirt on. I'm like, that seems like it's part of the horror movie
motif.
You know, you got to have this strong lead should be sexy.
A hot girl.
A hot girl. It's got to be hot.
Yeah, it's just
I know it's going to be rooting for.
Right.
An ugly
girl. Absolutely.
It's true, though. Isn't it true?
Girl in a baggy shirt with one sock
one thing
on.
Or the other, but yes, you know, yes.
No, but look at the people that we follow in the news when they turn up missing.
Yeah.
It's all young, pretty girls. It's never like some overweight, disheveled girl who looks like you might see her at 3 a.m.
Right.
Downtown Bridgeport.
And picture of her eating a taco. Yeah, no.
To be fair, I do like to watch attractive guys as well.
Desmond Child.
Yes.
Grammy award-winning songwriter.
Icon.
Co-wrote Living on a Prayer, You Give Love a Bad Name, I Was Made for Loving You, Dude Looks Like a Lady, I Hate Myself for Loving You, Livin' La Vida Loca, many, many more.
Maybe you heard of him.
Maybe you heard of some of his work.
Yeah.
Desmond?
Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
How you doing up there in Connecticut?
Freezing. Can you help us out a little bit?
Can we get an answer?
I used to own a home in Washington, Connecticut.
Oh.
Oh, what a neat place.
Keyword used to.
Well, it was a long time ago, and it was really cold.
Nothing's changed, just so you know.
It's still the same.
Yes.
It's an honor to talk to you, Desmond. We're big fans of your music. Can I just start with Living on a Prayer? Is that the perfect song?
I think so.
Are you asking me?
Yes, I am.
I mean, you know.
I want to know what Desmond Child thinks of Living on a Prayer.
In my house, we call it Living Room on a Prayer.
Nice.
Because, you know, that song, you know, changed my life.
Yeah.
And I co-wrote it with John Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora. And you know, it was one of those magical sessions where, you know, John wanted to write a song about, you know, struggling working class couple. He had his friends from high school that he knew and that he was thinking about. I was thinking about the time when I had my girlfriend at the time, Maria Vidal, and she worked as a waitress, and everybody called her Gina.
Oh, wow.
And so that's where Gina came from. So there's a little bit of all of us, you know, the three of us with Richie Sambora in that song. The thing that that song has is an element of hope. And that's right. why it stood the test of time. And people all around the world can sing that song by heart.
Yes. It's like an anthem.
And it's just so fantastic to have been able to be a part of something so special.
That, the relatability.
Yeah.
The complexity of the idea, but the simplicity of the words. It sounds as if someone's talking, but the words just happen to rhyme.
Yeah.
It really is a masterpiece.
And everybody knows that couple.
Yeah, Tommy and Gina.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just, you know, love my collaborations with John Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora. Like, you give love a bad name. We wrote on the very first day we met.
Nice.
I have that kind of relationship with many bands, you know, where, you know, I come in and I'm almost like the fifth or sixth member of the band for the period of time where we're writing for an album. And, you know, it's a journey. And, you know, it's very intense, and the friendship is deep. And, you know, I have that kind of relationship with Steven Tyler and Joe Perry. We wrote Dude Looks Like a Lady, and then the next day, Steven and I wrote Angel.
Wow.
And then we wrote Crazy, and then What It Takes. And, you know, it's been an incredible path, you know, to have a music career like that, where I get to be kind of behind the scenes, but a part of everything. And it's been wonderful.
Well, that album brought them back.
It did.
A Permanent Vacation album. That
From
was
the
their
dead.
Big comeback album.
Yep.
It brought me back.
So everybody's happy all around then. Works
you
for me.
Can never have enough big hits.
No.
So have you written any of your hits just on your own, sitting down with no one in mind, or do you have someone in mind, or are you typically a collaboration with another band or an artist?
Well, I started out you know, solely writing for my pop band, Desmond Child and Rouge. And we made two albums on Capitol Records. We were the musical guests on Saturday Night Live and all that. And during that time, I met Paul Stanley. He came to see us perform.
Cool.
And he came backstage and said, hey, want to write a song together? And I said, okay. And we wrote I Was Made for Loving You.
Wow.
That is a great song.
Holy crap.
And then wrote like 20 or more songs together for Kiss through the years and for Paul's solo records and all that. But, you know, That's the thing, you know. It's like when you have chemistry with somebody, great things happen.
We're talking to Desmond Child, Grammy Award winning songwriter. That's incredible. Well, he heard that in your music that he would make a good. You guys would make a good pairing.
Well, because he loved soul music, and we were kind of doing a kind of fusion of rock and blue eyed soul, Motown, and all of that. And Paul, you know, that's why I Was Made for Loving You turned out that way, because Paul is a huge fan of Motown. You know, if you listen to it, I mean, some people often said, you know, oh, well, that's a disco song. Mm. It's like, no, it's Motown with hard rock guitars.
Yep.
You know, like Standing in the Shadow of Love, like that kind of thing. And that's why I think that song is one of the most popular songs in the entire world, because it has soul, you know, has R&B built into it.
Okay, I get now why you're so successful, because it's not like you're just writing words down on a piece of paper and you hand it off to whichever artist will take it.
Yeah.
You are a part of the collaboration,
exactly.
The birthing and the raising of this child.
It's all in, yeah.
Yeah, I think that I've written with people that have made it really big and people that haven't made it. I never turn down an offer to write. You know, because you never know. I got a call to write with this girl that, you know, she had been with one, she was going to like one of two lead singers, and, you know, she didn't have a record deal. She came to write with me, and we wrote a song called Waking Up in Vegas, and her name is Katy Perry.
Well, wow.
Jeez.
You know, that song was very important to her. and I'm going to go to see her next week in Vegas itself. And I heard that she does a Rat Pack version of the song in her show.
Oh.
And I just can't wait.
Excellent.
Oh, I want to see it.
That is very cool.
But
you see, you sometimes you have to take a chance.
True.
You know, on somebody that doesn't even have a record deal. You know, if something comes up and I look at my schedule, am I free that day? Yeah, come on, let's do it.
Awesome.
Let's see what happens. And, you know, I've written over 5,000 songs. Whew. Most of them bad. Because it took, you know, I've had like maybe 2,000 of them recorded on some fashion. Of those, 80 became top 40 hits. Of those top 40 hits, I've had maybe like, you know, 10, 12 number ones. You know, it took 5,000 songs to get 12. You know, what do you think?
It's the law of averages. Swing for the fences and you'll hit the home runs.
Exactly.
But you had 5 songs in the top 20 at one period, didn't you?
I know.
Yeah.
Some were going up and some were going down, but they were like meeting in the middle.
They're all there.
And that's a pretty hard thing to do, right?
Yeah.
And my best friend and biggest rival, Diane Warren, we co-wrote a lot of songs together, but, you know, we were just like fueling each other's ambition. And so she was, you know, she was going at it too. So, you know, they always, you know, people say that we were the king and queen of pop songwriting, and but the only problem was trying to figure out which one was which.
Well, yeah, let's switch off.
I could talk to you for days, so I hope that you'll come back.
Right.
We've been playing your music for a long time.
Yes, we have.
Probably
still
built an extension or two on your house. So right. Anytime you want to come back.
And take a look.
But before we let you go, I want to talk about this Desmond Child and Friends Songwriting Fantasy Camp that anyone listening can be part of.
Absolutely. And you can be somebody who doesn't even write songs, and you're going to have the time of your life listening to all of these war stories and all of the craft that goes into making a song. It'll give you an appreciation of music that's very deep. And for those that are striving on whatever level, you're going to get something out of it to push you to the next level.
It's rockcamp.com. Visit that to sign up. And Desmond, honor to speak to you, but I want to get you back.
Yeah,
can
please.
We get you back? How did we get you back?
Yes, because I've written my autobiography called Living on a Prayer, Big Songs, Big Life with David Ritz, and it's going to be out this year. And I'm also performing in Athens, Greece, my big show on June 27th. And everybody's invited to, you know, go get your plane tickets to Athens, Greece. It's, you know, it's Desmond Child Rocks the Parthenon. So if you want to check out all of my activities and fun things, stick with me on Instagram, Desmond.Child.
We are your new best friends.
Yes, we are.
And our producer will be annoying your people shortly.
Thank you.
Thank you, Desmond.
Thank you.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.